O Lord, open thou my lips. O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. Introit half verse by half verse. Behold, my servant whom I uphold. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage.
And the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise.
Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear.
And rejoice with trembling.
For his wrath is quickly kindled.
Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Behold, my servant whom I uphold.
My chosen, in whom my soul delights.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for this Sunday, the baptism of our Lord, comes to us from Isaiah chapter 43. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the waters, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Sheba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes to us today from the book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day. Saints in Christ, baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection, sealed as one of God's own children, Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The inspired word of God, which forms the basis of our message today, comes to us from the gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter, just read. Today, we observe the baptism of Jesus. Luke recorded Jesus' baptism in just that one little short part of that one verse. There's a lot more going on there in Luke than just Jesus' baptism. But we're going to get to that. But what is baptism? When you think of baptism, what do you think of? And as you're thinking of baptism, what good is it? What does it bestow upon you, the sinner? Well, we are going to go to the authority on this, God, yes, as his word is explained and expounded upon in Martin Luther's catechism. What is a catechism? Well, it's a book. I'm sure if you've been confirmed in the Lutheran Church, you know what that book is, right? Had to memorize lots of it? Yes. It's a teaching tool that uses questions and answers to teach the word of God to the catechumens. And we are all catechumens. We continue to hear and to learn God's word, what he has done for us, until we are with him in heaven. Well, Luther wrote, baptism is not simple water only, but it is water comprehended in God's command and connected with God's word. We call it a sacrament. A sacrament is where you have a visible element, water, connected with God's word. The two are brought together. Well, what does baptism give or profit? Luther writes, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Well, when does it end? Is it good all the time? Well, if you were in the Roman Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Church, they believe that, yes, you are baptized. Yes, their baptism is efficacious. But they believe that, okay, you're baptized today, so all your sins in the past are forgiven. But it doesn't take care of those in the future. So from here back, you're okay. Here forward, you're going to have to literally work on that. And if we look at a lot of the Reformed churches, the Calvinists, the Zwinglians, they believe that baptism is just something you do. And you have to reach an age of accountability and be a certain age, and you have to come before the altar and make your confession. And then the baptism, and it must be by immersion, is just an outward symbol of you saying, I'm now a Christian, and I repent of my sin. We, in the Lutheran Church, believe in the unaltered Augsburg Confession that baptism is a means of grace through which the triune God bestows his blessings upon us. Your baptism isn't just good for the one day or for the sins of the past. It is good for the sins of your life. It remains with you for your entire life. It just isn't a one-time event. To this Christ our Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was reading some news articles, and there was one where there was this group in England. They were getting together and they were signing papers saying, I'm unbaptized. Just because my parents took me to church and some guy poured water on me or dunked me in the water doesn't make me a Christian. I don't want to be a Christian. I now declare myself unbaptized. I thought, you lost person. To say that you're unbaptized is the same as saying I'm unborn. If you're born, you're born. If you're baptized, you are baptized. It is there, it is efficacious, but you are going to reject it. And what happens to those who reject it? As Jesus said, those who reject baptism, reject Jesus, reject what God the Father has done for us, and on the last day are going to face the eternal consequences of separation from God for all eternity. How can we say this? Well, God, the Holy Spirit, inspired Luke to write, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in His hand to clear His threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn, and He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What is He saying here? I think many of you know what it's like to go out and get the wheat in, right? You take the wheat, what do you do with the chaff? Or you plow it under, or you use it for something else. But God is talking to us here, and He's saying the wheat is going to be gathered off the threshing floor. This is the threshing floor. The believers are going to be gathered into heaven. On the last day, God will send His holy angels to gather up all the believers and take them into the barn, heaven. But the unbelievers are the chaff, and they are going to be burned with an unquenchable fire. In other words, they will never die, but they will live in torment for all eternity. The fire that He's talking about there, baptizing with the Holy Spirit and with fire, there's somewhat of a dual meaning here. For us, the fire means God the Holy Spirit coming into us, bringing us to faith, justifying us, sanctifying us, keeping us in that one true faith unto life everlasting. The other meaning of fire is Jesus' suffering and death on the cross, where He suffers the wrath, God the Father's wrath for your sin, for my sin. And that is the fire that is going to be upon Him, that He willingly takes that punishment so that we would be saved. So we have those who reject baptism. Rejecting baptism is not being in church. Rejecting baptism is not having the desire to be here, hearing God's word for the building and strengthening of your faith. Rejecting baptism is meaning not bringing your children to be baptized, to receive God's grace and God's gifts. Rejecting baptism is not engaging in prayer, not calling out to the one true God who gives you all things in all ways. Rejecting baptism, again, is rejecting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, let's go out to the desert. We've got John the Baptist, quite the guy, dressed in this rough clothing made out of camel's hair, a big leather belt. He eats bugs with honey mixed in. Oh, isn't that good? Yeah, try that for lunch today, okay? Yeah. So he's out there and he's baptizing. He's in the Jordan. And people are coming out. All kinds of people are coming out. Tax collectors, sinners, soldiers, prostitutes, the dreaded Pharisees, scribes, and teachers of the law. They're all out there watching John, and he's preaching, he's teaching. He's baptizing many of them. And then along comes the Son of God, his cousin, Jesus the Christ. And Jesus says, John, baptize me. And John says, oh no, I'm not worthy to even untie your shoe, let alone baptize you. And Jesus insists, you will baptize me. John said, okay. Now, why did Luke put that little interlude in there about Herod and his wife and locking John up, why it was stuck right there? I don't know, but he did put that in there, and we know the rest of the story, that John was eventually arrested, imprisoned, and had his head cut off. But then Luke continued on with the rest of the baptism story. So Jesus is in the water, and if you notice, it doesn't say in Luke's gospel who baptized him. We're going to say John because we have other gospels. It doesn't say he was in the Jordan, but the other gospels do tell us this. So he's in the Jordan. John is going to baptize him. So in the actual baptismal rite, do you have to be fully immersed? Or can we just pour water on your head? We, of course, say the latter. For you see, the word baptism, if you study the original Greek, the meaning of the word, baptism means to apply water. How did John apply the water? Did he take a shell and just pour it on Jesus' head? Did he take a hyssop branch and put it in the water and shake the water on him? Or did he dunk him all the way under? We don't know. But all of them are applying water. So this is what John did. He applied water to Jesus and baptized him. Then what happens? Luke emphasized what happened after the baptism more so than the actual baptism. As I said, it was only a few words. What we have here is a great theophany occurring with the Holy Trinity. As we talked this morning in Bible study, a theophany is that big word meaning an appearance of God. And we talked about how the burning bush, where Moses went to the burning bush, that burning bush was the appearance of God, because if we were to look on God, our sinfulness, we'd be vaporized. So God appeared in the burning bush, and as he led the Hebrew people, he appeared as a column, like a cloud, a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night to give them assurances. These are theophanies. On the Mount of Transfiguration, a cloud enveloped. It's a theophany. Well, here we have the theophany of the entire Trinity. Who's in the water? God the Son, our Savior. Who spoke from heaven? God the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Right? There's two. Then the third is the Holy Spirit. The heavens opened. Heaven was closed. But the heavens opened. And the Holy Spirit came. Now, was the Holy Spirit coming down like a piece of paper floating down from the balcony? Was the Holy Spirit coming down like a feather in that movie Forrest Gump? No. The Holy Spirit came down directly onto Jesus and filled him. And that is what happens in your baptism. It's a Trinitarian baptism. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present in the waters of holy baptism. When that Holy Spirit comes down, remember the pastor says, "Depart, unclean spirit, enter in, Holy Spirit." Yes. And if you think of this, you think of the flood with Noah, the dove that went out, the Holy Spirit directly descended in the form of the dove and entered Jesus as he enters into you. Heaven is opened to you through your baptism and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's all this kind of hard to believe. Well, let me put it to you this way. What's easier to believe? This world out there was created out of nothing by nobody. That's what non-believers believe. They have faith in that. They say all this just came into being, right? Or do you have more faith and belief in the fact that all of this was created out of nothing by the one true God? I believe the latter. And I believe that God made me, that he made you, and that his Holy Spirit comes upon us in our holy baptisms and dwells within us to justify us, sanctify us, and keep us in that one true faith to life everlasting. That is why baptism is so very important. That without the Holy Spirit's help, we are spiritually lost. It's through our baptism that a Christian is assimilated into the life of Christ. For you see, in our baptism, that fire, we are crucified with Christ, and we rise again with Christ. That's the fire that John was talking about. That is what takes place. And it doesn't stop there, because if you think about when Jesus was crucified, his baptism by fire, that Roman soldier took a pike, a spear, and shoved it into his side. What came out? Water and blood. That water comes out and fills the baptismal font, which washes away your sin. The blood that came out fills the chalice that you drink from. Both give you forgiveness of sin. These are God's gifts to you. The gift of eternal life, where you are marked and sealed as God's child, where your name is written in the book of life in heaven. It is open to you. And on the day that you pass from this life, or the last day, you will be welcomed in along with all believers. You're going to be taken in the barn. You're not going into the unquenchable fire because of what your Savior, Jesus the Christ, did for you. In his name, amen. Please rise for the singing of the Te Deum. continue with the prayer of the church. Heavenly Father, you have filled all righteousness in the baptism of your beloved Son. As we have received this righteousness by our baptism into him, make us bold in faith and fervent in love, that we may live out heavenly lives, even in this world. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, as you have opened heaven to your church through holy baptism, give her faithful teachers to proclaim your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that accords with godliness, that many would repent of their sins and join him in his heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, preserve the family, O God, especially all Christian homes. Turn husband and wife toward one another in love. Equip fathers and mothers for their holy duty as teachers of the faith, and preserve all children in saving faith and certain promises of their baptism unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you break the wicked with your rod for the sake of your beloved children. Help us at all times to serve you with fear and to seek refuge always in the kingdom of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus is true Christ and true King of this world. Grant great humility to the rulers of nations, that they would submit to the preaching of his holy word for the sake of their own souls and for the good of your holy people. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you sent your Son to serve your people and deliver them from sin and death. Because we long for your salvation, bring us out of all of our afflictions of body, mind, and soul, and uphold all those who are bruised in spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you manifested yourself with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of grace at the baptism of your dear Son. With your voice, you directed us to the one who has borne our sins, that we may receive grace and forgiveness. Keep us, we implore you, in true faith, since we have been baptized in accordance with your command and the example of your Son. Strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit and lead us to everlasting life and salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all of our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and our Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.